Kiddos, come on and meet me up here. Good morning. How's everybody today? I'm going to read y'all a passage today from Acts. Do you remember who we were talking about last week? Do you remember? You couldn't say. I had that little pipe thing with a little ball, and there was a wind blowing, and we were talking about which person of God? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Well, I'm going to read you another passage about the Holy Spirit today. In Acts 1:8 it says, there you go, Mr. John's got it up there. Somebody read it for me. Read it up here. Okay.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit
has
come upon you, and you shall be my
witnesses
both in
Jerusalem
and in all Judea
mm-hmm.
and Samaria and even to the
remotest
part of the earth.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, young Tim. Okay. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Jesus speaking to his disciples this before he ascends back into heaven. He said, I'm going into heaven, but the Holy Spirit's going to come. And when he comes, you're going to have power and power to be my witness. What does it mean to be a witness for him? Anybody know? If you're a witness in court, what are you doing? What does a witness in court do? I've come to testify. I'm going to be. You're trying to get somebody free, and you're. What are you doing? You're telling what you know. You're giving witness of something you know. And that's what God wants us to do with our relationship with Jesus. So that other people will know that Jesus lives in our lives. I know y'all are wondering what I've got here. Okay. All right, now. Look at this. I want you to think about this. And you really can't see with your eyes the force that happens, but watch. Look at there.
It's a magnet.
Yeah, but can you see what's going on right in there?
No.
Look at there. It grabbed it right out of my hand. Look at that.
Magnets are made enough to stick stuff that are like metal.
All right, see that? You can't see that force, but it happens. That's how God draws us through His Holy Spirit. He draws us to himself, and we come to him. Now, pretend this little tray here that I've got full of screws and nuts and all kinds of stuff that's in here. Let's just pretend that this is all the people in our lives. That every one of these things in here represents somebody. And watch what happens. When God draws me, but then I bring my witness to all these other people. I want you to watch what happens. Watch what happens. Look and see. Look there.
Whoa.
Look at that.
It's like that's Jesus. Look. Everybody is connected to him.
That's right. Look what happens. This one drew this one. This one drew this one. Look at that. They're still hanging on. Look at that. You can't see the power, but it's happening. That's what God does to us through His Holy Spirit as He draws people to Himself. Now next Sunday, we're going to have Friend Day.
Yay!
And what I want all of y'all to do is to invite your friends. You come. You invite your friends, they come, And then you just invite all the people in your life who are not in a church somewhere. And you know what we're going to have when we come together? Oh, we're going to have a crowd of people here. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today. Thank you for your word clear and plain from Acts 1:8. Lord, we do receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us. Power to do and to be what we never thought could be possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all can go to Kid Zone now.
Good morning. Just want to let you know that I was concerned that on Wednesday we would not be here on Sunday because I thought Jesus was probably on his way back. And you're wondering why Hope Strickland went to her first high school football game on Wednesday, and I was pretty sure that had to be the sign of the apocalypse coming soon. All right? As a matter of fact, the Bible says Jesus will come in the clouds. Well, when you're at Pooler watching a football game, you hear a lot of roar from the clouds because of the airport. So I thought maybe he was on one of the planes because Hope was at a football game. It wasn't true. Let's pray. Father God, we bless you. We honor you. You know, Holy Spirit, thank you for being here. Father, thank you for the gift of beautiful weather. Thank you for the gift of the body of Christ. Father, I pray this brief time we have together would honor you, glorify you, not for a moment, but throughout the day, throughout the week. Lord, stir in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible with you and you'd like to follow along on some version of the Bible that you have, we're going to be reading Acts chapter 2. We're basically going to kind of pick up part of the story where Dusty just shared with the young adults. So I'm going to be reading the ESV version on the overhead if you'd like to follow along with that. So John, if you want to go ahead and put that up. I'm going to read sort of kind of the beginning of the church. Acts chapter 2, let's read. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of his own in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya, belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." And then we're going to jump a few verses to 36 through 47. "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.' And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. I'm going to make this very, very, I hope, simple for us. Church, have you forgot what living by the power of the Holy Spirit is really really like in your own life? When I read that passage, I see such a dramatic change in a group of people that went from dead to life. They were compelled by the Spirit of God inside them to not just live for Christ, but they would be willing to die for Him at any moment. And I believe one of the things we first take away, as we keep this very simple today, is this. Jesus, Dusty kind of had the scripture about Jesus right before He ascended after 40 days on the earth. Well, we fast forward 10 days and we find the disciples waiting for a great move of God. They knew Jesus had promised a Spirit, okay? So my first thing for you this morning is this. Have you postured yourself for God to use you in your life? Have you postured your attitude? Have you postured your heart? Have you prepared yourself to say, God, I'm really going to be serious with You. And I'm not going to allow the world, the flesh, or the devil to kill, steal, or destroy that by this time in our lives, guys, let's be honest. Do you really need one more sermon that you're supposed to read your Bible? Do you really need one more sermon that you're supposed to tithe? Do you need one more sermon that says God has gifted you and God has called you and God has a purpose? Now, we all need reminders, but I'm asking you, is it really new information? It's not for me, and I don't think it's for most of you that I'm looking at. So ask yourself this morning, am I posturing myself to become all that God has intended me to become, or am I still posturing myself for one more day of getting around to being all that God has for me? Have you postured yourself in a position that says, God has promised, He's ready to deliver, am I ready to receive? Because our world is in great need of life. And I don't mean just for this moment, a life eternal. I mean a life that says, tomorrow at work, at the grocery store, wherever you go, they need a life that says, there's hope in that life, that there has to be something different. Do you grasp the reality of the brokenness of the world that we live in? I mean, do you really grasp the brokenness that's in our world? I think it's hard, and I think sometimes we just say, you know what, it's too much, I can't handle it. And God is posturing us as the church to say, a great move is ready to happen right now. But you know something that happened to these guys? It's this, and I think it's very important, okay? They didn't wait for a great move of God in somebody else's life. They became the move of God. Do you understand that? Do you understand that God's not waiting for a great move? He's waiting on you to be in the movement. We don't need to be told tomorrow, hey, pray for someone's salvation. Look for opportunities to share your salvation. Look for someone to tell your story to. You already know that. Posture yourself for the reality that God's going to give you the opportunity that He's going to do that. Big, big difference. Peter, the one that stood up, remember? The coward that denied Jesus? Do you realize that when God got a hold of all of their lives, the same group that we just read about was the same group that were so afraid that they ran from Jesus, or ran from the persecution. They ran from the garden. They ran from His presence. They didn't want anything to do with it. Now they're saying, God has such a hold on my life that I'm willing to face the whatever to be whatever God needs me to be. And by now, probably most of you in this room know that through church history, that they all faced persecution. Great persecution. All the early church. Because remember one of the things historically that we find out through history with this group of believers, that this was the day of Pentecost when this took place, but it wasn't going to be but just a few decades before the Romans had decided they were sick and tired of the Jews. They had had enough of their rebellious, stubborn attitude, and they came in and they tried to wipe, they basically wiped out Jerusalem. So what happened though? God had postured them. They had received the life of the Holy Spirit that when persecution came, then when they spread back out, they were ready. They were ready. They were had made themselves available, and God had used that. I want to ask you a question that's so simple today. Do you feel alive? I mean, really? Really, do you feel alive? Or has life become the drudge? Do you feel like that God still wants to use you? Because what you do to Him still matters. You still matter to Him. And you're still going to matter tomorrow, but I'm asking you to consider, are you allowing Him to fill you afresh to where your perspective, your posture, your attitude for Him in the kingdom is usable at any moment, any place, any time? A few days ago, I was at the Y, and I was leaving, and I was talking to a gentleman I never spoke to before. I didn't know anything about him, except I was just talking to him about both of us being at the Y. And we got on the subject of church. And he is a believer. Now, he's retired now, and he gave me his testimony. I didn't ask for it. Did you hear what I said? I didn't ask for it. He told me about it. In October of 1978, he had been reading Mere Christianity. And like Dusty says often, you have to deal with Jesus being a lunatic or a liar or who he really says he is. He dealt with that question in his bedroom in October of 1978. And he said, you know what? After careful consideration, I decided Jesus was who he said he was. But you know, the thing that got me about his testimony was this. It wasn't history. He wasn't telling me a story about something from his past. He was telling me about an encounter with the living Christ that was still alive and vibrant all these years later. Is your relationship with Christ alive and vibrant today? Because some of you have been following Christ for a long time, but I'm asking you, is there life in it? Because He wants you to have life in His relationship with you. He's not waiting on you to be perfect, right? But how often do we believe those kind of lies? Well, if I could just do this, then I'll become useful. God's saying, I'm already ready to make you useful. I just need your availability. God wants you to have the life that He intended now. He doesn't want you to spend this afternoon dreading Monday morning at work. He wants you to look forward to it, saying, look out, life is coming to work where I work. Look out, life is coming to the store I go to. I go to the same basic Kroger all the time. In fact, I go there so much, I tell Kathy all the time, those checkout girls, honest to goodness, think I must have lost my mind, that the only thing I want to do is spend time in the store. Okay? Because I forget stuff, and then I have to go back. But you know what I try to do each and every time I'm there? Look them in the eye, say, how are you doing? And I hope you have a good day. All I'm doing is I'm giving them respect. Where could it go? I don't know. I don't know. Ask yourself this morning, are you running on empty? Are you running on empty? Because look at this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. They were having fun. They were enjoying things. And you know, one of the greatest things about it was, as their life changed, they saw other people's lives changed. Think about that for a moment. God can have fun and change others' lives in and through you. Are you running on empty today? Because God doesn't want you to run on empty. Where's that in the Bible? Where's in the Bible that God says, my plan and my purpose for you is just, if you can just make it one more day, I've got something for you great in the future. No, it's now. We live in a now kingdom, a right now kingdom. Are we making ourselves available? Are we allowing ourselves to be used? You and I have a life-giving, life-changing relationship, don't we? It is not something that should be describable at times. But I want you to know something. Your relationship with Him should be so authentic that it is believable. It is believable. So I'm going to ask you one more time this morning. Are you running on empty? Spiritually speaking. Some of you probably, that's going to be a reminder to get gas after we leave. Okay? All right? especially, well, never mind. I don't think we can grasp this morning in our few minutes together the importance of this. But I know something for a fact. Not because I'm so spiritually great, but I think you'll agree with this. There's going to be a lot of upset people on November the 9th in this country. And somebody is going to go looking for somebody to solve issues and problems. And somebody's going to be very angry. And unless you have the peace that passes all understanding, you know what the devil will do to you? He will suck you right down the path of that, and you'll be caught up in all that garbage. Instead of looking and saying, wait a second, I've got some life change. I know the life giver, and he's not controlled by man. He is not controlled by man. So can you look yourself in the spiritual mirror this morning and say, God, I'm running on empty. I'm a little bit low, but I want to be full again, and I'm not going to do something tomorrow that you're asking me to do today. Because you know what happens to you when you're running on full? No one has to tell you to be here. You're waiting to tell somebody, hey man, did you see what happened in this word today? When you're running on full, things happen like, I had this dream, I got to get some people together, some pray with me so they can, what is God saying to me through that? You got things happening like you're not going to believe what happened. I was at work the other day, and this person that I honestly gonna thought devil in the incarnate came up to me and asked me about Jesus. Which that's happened to me before, by the way. Not at this job. I mean, Rick and Dusty, I think, are saved. I think. I don't know. Regina? Questionable. Anyway. Do I ever get by a sermon without get you in? I don't, do I? In just a moment, Gary's going to come up in the worship team, and we're going to end our time together with a couple of worship songs. I want you to ask God to want Him more than any other thing in your life. That's all I'm asking. With no strings attached. With no conditions. With no ifs, ands, or buts. Just to say, I'm posturing myself for Jesus to fill me afresh, and look what happens. You know, one of the things that drives me crazy about that scripture we just read? So many Christians want to pause on the tongue part. I want you to know something. There's too many Christians that aren't doing anything to worry about tongue. There's too many Christians that are still looking to man to fix their problems. There's too many Christians that are still in bondage when Jesus is offering freedom. Because what does it say? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Say it again. There is freedom. So bondage is not God's plan for your life. Freedom. Walking in the Spirit, walking by the Spirit. So Gary, you guys want to come on up? As they take the stage and grab their instruments. I'm not going to sugarcoat this for you today. If you do what I just challenged you to do about, God, I want you more than anything with no strings attached, then I'm going to tell you right now, God's getting ready to make you uncomfortable. God's going to find out, did you really mean that prayer? Or were you just flirting and not wanting to fall in love? Church, that's dangerous. God's got a sense of humor. He'll let you flirt. But then when you want to fall in love, it's amazing. So are you running on empty? Are you willing to ask God to fill you afresh today? And are you willing to say, I want the want that makes you all in all in my life? No strings attached. When you leave those doors in just a few moments, that you will feel freshly alive, spiritually speaking, and that you are willing to posture yourself to be all God intended. And one last scripture before I pray for us. John? Jesus prayed this for us, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. that you also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The synergy of the body of Christ is absolutely all-powerful. That scripture right there says, if the body of Christ will use their gifts, their talents, their time, all their resources, and be one of heart with you and I, Father, we will literally change the world. It's not that complicated, but it does require dying to self. So you don't get life and get it abundantly on your terms. I don't get it on my terms. We're coming to God now on His terms. So I'm going to pray for us. We're going to do two worship songs. We're done. So anytime during those worship songs you want to bring your basket up here, you're welcome to come to the altar, which, by the way, I know you don't need this reminder. I just want to tell you something real quick. You're not coming up here or getting somebody to pray with. You're not meeting with steps and carpet. You're meeting with a living, breathing Savior. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for life. Thank you for life abundantly. May this time honor you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures,